Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so rolling into hour number two of this Wednesday installment of The Home Team. We are presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, and be golden. Chris and Jeff with you till 7 tonight. Braves have already won, taking care of the Nationals. Today, 7-1. They win 2 out of 3 and go 4-2 on this six-game homestand to open up the season. Braves are 2 games over 500 for like the first time in a couple of years, I think.
Well, they had the chance to get either one under at 500 in the infamous Bartolo Colon loss. Was that San Diego?
It was
last
to
year?
Get. They would have gotten at 2.500. Okay. They were one below and sent him to the mound. Yes.
And then they went 2 below, and guess what? They didn't get any closer.
They stayed below 500. but hey, they're off to a nice start here, and now they'll hit the road beginning Friday, heading out to Denver. To play the Rockies,
well, Chris,
maybe, if it's not snowing.
They ain't playing. You pointed out that Preston Tucker had homered for another game, and I heard that. I go, that guy's familiar. He played for Florida. Okay, yeah, that guy, he used to kill us. And here's a scouting report I can give you on him. I guess he wasn't a first round or anything like that. Maybe he, quote, unquote, doesn't have a position, a great arm. All that. The guy can hit, and I'm telling you, he could hit at Florida. Left-hander, he can – he can hit. That's all I'm going to tell you about him. Maybe he's not a great prospect, sabermetrics, all this, but the guy can hit.
He hit a 3-run homer last night in the first inning. The Braves had given up 3 in the first, and then he hit a 3-run homer, and the Braves took a 4-3 lead after one, ended up blowing Washington out last night. And then today he hit a 3-run homer in the first inning off of Scherzer, and it was 3-0 Atlanta, so he set the table. So 2 straight games, he's hit a first inning 3-run home run. So what's interesting about him, though, is he's pretty much viewed as just a guy that's keeping left field warm until Ronald Acuna shows up. I guess a week from Friday is when he'd be expected to arrive in the big leagues.
Is he Kramer at the Tonys?
Yeah, he's just filling in the seat. But if the guy right now is hitting 429 with 2 straight games where he's hit a 3-run homer, I mean,
well, keep him in the lineup.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to justify if he is he's not going to keep hitting 429, but you know, if he's impressing with the stick, I mean, you're going to take him out of the lineup.
Well, here's the thing with Tucker, I'll say too. I didn't even know he was in the organization. I don't know.
And they've got him batting 5th. So he's right there in the middle of the lineup for a guy that's basically just keeping a seat warm.
Exactly. But, like, he's one of those guys, and I get it, Swanson plays shortstop and all, and I'm not trying to kill Dansby Swanson, but as I said, he was a very good player in a great lineup. Like, as far as hitters go, in college, I found Preston Tucker to be a more dangerous hitter than Dansby Swanson. I get it, Swanson's the better prospect. The measurables, I get all that. But I'm just telling you, when it comes down to putting the bat on the ball, I thought Tucker was every bit as good. It was more of a dangerous hitter.
Yeah, well, he raked a couple home runs each of the last 2 days, and today it was off of Scherzer.
Well, good for him. Yeah, that guy can hit.
You know, Freeman's hot to start the year. His average is up at 421. He got a pair of doubles today. And it was that first inning. Scherzer got up, but it was back-to-back. I think it was back-to-back strikeouts, or he got the first 2 out in Ciardi and Albies, and then Freeman hit a 2-out double. Then Markakis comes up, grounds a routine ball to second,
Oop,
booted, and then Tucker makes him pay with a 3-run homer. I mean, the Nationals should have been out of that thing with Markakis, but instead, it's 3-0. Braves end up rolling 7-1 today.
Can't give away those extra outs. And, you know, I would guess for a guy like Scherzer, that was always the deal with Glavin. Remember that you better get to him in the first. A lot of great pitchers are like that.
Yeah.
Better get him early.
Yeah, they got him. And then Fultonevich, of all people, tacked on 2 more with a 2-out double in the 4th inning. And so he gave up 5 runs, although only 2 of them, I think, ended up being earned because of that error in the first inning. But Braves win.
Braves win.
And right now they're tied. They're tied with the Nationals at 4-2.
Hey, they were never in first place last year. They weren't even 1-0. So.
Yeah. I think what's the Mets might be in first right now. I don't have the Mets lost. Sure, they've lost to the Mets,
way,
right?
Good call that you said the Mets were going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, the Mets are 3-1, and they're beating the Phillies right now to go to 4-1. So the Mets would be in first place if they can hang on. Oh, speaking of the Big Apple, if you missed it yesterday, Giancarlo Stanton made his Yankee Stadium debut, and he struck out 5 times.
Woo!
His middle name turned into Boo, but today he did hit a 2-run homer in his first at-bat, so I guess he made up. With the Yankees fans, and they're winning today 7-1 over Tampa, who is just going to be atrocious this season.
The dreaded 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts, and I've seen a couple. We had a couple of terrific players from Georgia do it through the years. We brought this up. Let's say, Chris, let's say you're playing, and you're 0-for-3 with 3 Ks. And now Stanton, he's a great player. You hit a pop foul that it's, is it going to get in the seats, or is the third baseman going to catch it? How much of you is rooting for that third baseman to catch it? Whereas even though you make the out, you're not striking out.
All of me. By the way, Stanton has struck out 3 more times today.
Jeez.
But he does have a 2-run homer.
You're a bust.
Yeah, that's 8 strikeouts in the last just 2 games alone for Stanton. Well, who wasn't it that happened to Matt Cerrone, but then the next game he had the game-winning hit. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Cerrone struck out 5. Was that in Omaha?
Yes, he had 5 strikeouts, went 0-for-5, and then the next game he drove in the game winner against Stanford. I mean, he could bounce back. We had a guy, Chris Crawford, who is a great guy. Now, he went out in 19, I think this was 98. LSU had won like 17 straight. They were the defending national champions. They had won it in 96 and 97. And anyways, so Crawford like hit a home run, went 5-for-5, then came on as a closer and struck him out in the ninth, struck out the sides. It's just an all-time great game. The next day he went 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts. Then I started thinking like, well, I'll have to ask Chris this one day. He's a great guy. I'm like, if you just struck out the side against LSU and got 5 hits against him, you probably had a good time in Athens, Georgia that night.
Yeah.
Probably didn't strike out 5 times that night.
Probably not, but that might have had something to do with why he did end up striking out a lot that
Woo,
next day.
Skip, I'm a little tired.
Yeah, well, you got to play anyway. I can't take the day off? No.
But, yeah, the 0-for-5 with 5 Ks, the golden sombrero +1.
Yeah, and I guess once you get to 4, you really can't be pinch hit for, because then you just look like you look like a sissy then.
I'll tell you this. If I was 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts, I don't care if I am Stanton. I'd try and bunt or something.
Exactly.
Just get it and play.
Just don't do it against the Twins.
They've got some veterans over there who will handle this.
They'll
the
take
right
care
way.
Of that.
Like, okay.
And if they don't, we'll bean them next time we play them.
Headshot.
Yeah. All right, 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. On the subject of baseball and Georgia baseball, Jeff, last night the Dogs take out Tech.
Oh, yeah.
4-0. Now, 4 also happens to be the number of replay reviews that happened in that game, which brings me to my first question, Jeff. If college baseball is just going to review every single questionable call in a game, why do they even bother to have umpires on the field?
Well, Coach Perno used to always say, hey, we can call the close ones. I'm sorry, we can call the easy ones. You guys get paid to call the close ones. What's happened with the replay system in the SEC and in college baseball? This has obviously got to get fixed. If it doesn't, we got a big problem. So in the conference games, I don't think they existed last night, which also comes back to, well, if you've got challenge in the SEC, well, if you're playing an ACC school, why not? But anyways, you get a couple of challenges. But the umpires can get together, and the coaches can ask them to get together to decide whether they should look at a close play. Well, if you're an umpire, you got to think, well, it was a bang-bang call. We want to get it right. Yeah, we might as well go look at it, because if we don't and then they go use a challenge and we're proven wrong, then we look like twice the dolt for missing it. But what's happened now is that basically every close play, they're going to look at it. And even though in the end you want to get them right, it's also still a game. And coaches slash managers, players, umpires at every level have a responsibility to the fans there, listening, watching, to put forth an enjoyable product. And last night, there were two reviews in the top of the first. We went marker 7, first pitch at 7:02. We go to the break at the end of the top of the first at 7:21, and a run wasn't scored. So we basically went 19, 20 minutes, and you know we're sitting there, Brahm, you're sitting here. There's 5-6 minutes of literally nothing happening. So, I mean, to me, the thing is, hey, both sides, you get your two challenges. And, Chris, like we've said, I think this could go for any sport. You get your two. I think in football you should get 3.5. But in baseball you get your two, and if you want to use it, boom, great. If not, you go by the original call. And the other part of it, too, sometimes these umps, they're looking at it for so long. If you can't tell within 15, 20 seconds, that completely defeats the original purpose and the original spirit of the replay rule.
Right. Well, also, if you're just going to replay every single close call, then the umpires are irrelevant to begin with. I mean, if they're going to get together, except you're at least cutting out the step where they get together and decide if they want to go and review it in the first place, which takes up time.
And at that point, just go ahead and look
right.
at it.
I mean, essentially, last night's game did not need umpires. It didn't. It didn't need umpires because there were about 45 outs of the 51 that were recorded that there was fly ball lands in a glove. There's strikeout. No doubt about it. Swing and a miss, that's a strikeout. So there were four plays that the umpires are needed for. They make a call, but then everyone agrees that we don't really trust that you made the right call, so go review it. And as it turned out, they did overturn one of them, which
they
benefited
did.
Georgia.
It did.
But the other three, they, you know, the call stood. So it just either get rid of replay, have some sort of a challenge system, or get rid of the umpires. Because last night's game, you didn't need them.
Well, and there was a play over the weekend where Cam Shepard was sliding in home. And it was bang-bang, of course. And he gets up, and he kind of looks at the dugout, and he did his hands to kind of shake it. Now, you could be like Gene Wilder, well, that's my shooting hand. Or you know how you feel? So-so. You know how you go when you kind of tilt your hand back and forth. So at that point, when he's even saying, it was close either way, I don't know if I was safe or not, they're not going to overturn it because they're going to go with the original call. He was called out. Sure enough, the original call held up there. And I mean, it's just a situation. They got a responsibility to the game. And in a 3-0 game on Friday night against Texas A&M, now granted, there was a pitching change because of an injury, so we need to throw that out there. We were over 2 hours long in the bottom half of the fourth inning. And that is just awful for the sport. It's awful for the fans who are there. And it's not why this was put in. Now, I will say this, our friends over at the SEC office, they're aware of all this and they're tracking the times. Something's going to get fixed. I'm just hoping it can get done in season. And even if there is a bylaw that says, well, once a rule started for the season, we can't change it. For something like this, absolutely. Well, then let's override that and just say, no. The coaches have got three challenges. If you want to use it in the bottom of the second, that's fine. But
well, like every play, the coach is running out of the dugout. Hey,
go look at that.
I'll go look at it, but if I don't overturn it, you're not going to come out anymore tonight and challenge my call.
Exactly.
Because otherwise, last night's game, if you're in the SEC office, you need to step back and realize that if all you're going to do is have a replay system where you're going to look at every single close call that's made during the game, then why do you even have the umpires to begin with? Because the only reason they're there is for the close calls.
Yeah, you could, I think, at that point, to your point, you could get by with two umpires. You could have one on the dish and one on the bases. And then, like you say, for the close ones, just go look at it. I mean, they've got to get this fixed, and they've got to get it fixed in a hurry.
Yeah. Because last night it was, I mean, even the 20-minute inning, but then there were, at the start of the game, like 10 or 11 minutes had passed, and there had been 7 or 8 pitches thrown. That was it.
Well, and the first one they replayed, Tex got a great catcher, Joey Bart. He had a long foul ball, and, I mean, it landed left of the foul pole. And, I mean, it was close, but it was hit high. It was hit far, but it looked foul. But that's one, like, they're not going to be able to look at that and change that to a homer unless it's, like, so obvious.
Well, and was it one where anyone from Tech objected to the call?
They kind of look like, oh, it was close. But, again, there's no way you could tell to where you could change it. You know, it's not one to where it clearly passes. Let's say it's within the height of the foul pole, and it clearly passes to the right or the left of that. And sometimes guys just miss it. Like, you know, we got hooked at one at Charleston. They hit a home run that was 10 feet foul, the Citadel did. You would have been able to tell on that just easily because it wasn't higher than the pole was. But when you look at where this thing was going, it looked like where it left of the foul pole and where it landed, I thought the original call was right, foul ball. There's no way they're going to overturn that.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't.
No.
Yeah. But then they discussed whether or not to go review it in the first place. So there was a delay before they finally decided to even go and look at it. And it's just, again, it goes back to then you're not even needed here. If you're going to, if you know, that was close, we'll just go to review. There's not even any point of having an umpire standing right down the third base line there to have a good view of that. If you're not going to trust what it is that they're seeing.
I mean, I'm confident the SEC is going to get this fixed. I just hope it's in season. And again, if there is some kind of bureaucracy there. Well, we've written the rule for the year. Well, who cares? This is awful. We need to change it. We need to fix it.
Well, in the end, last night, Georgia did go 3-1 in the reviews, right?
Yes.
One of them had, was it Tucker or Bradley, ended up being out anyway, which was the original call.
Correct.
But then Georgia got the better end of the other three, though.
Yeah.
So.
Dogs
won the game and the reviews.
And you want to get the calls right. And then what drives me nuts, too, I'm like, really, they're looking at this? I get it. It's a different sport. I get it. But you can't look to see that DeAndre Swift's face mask got yanked. That's just a hard swallow for me.
Yeah. Or Jake Fromm's head got shoved.
Yeah. Or Tyler Simmons wasn't offsides.
Right, that. Or
and,
they
false
did started.
False start. Well, that's not reviewable. Well, why not?
Yeah. Well, because it's Alabama. Because you're playing Alabama.
Sickens me.
Moving on to the 5 at 5, Jeff. Tomorrow the Masters gets underway. Who wins and why?
I'm going to go with McIlroy, Chris, and he was struggling a little bit. Played well at. Was it Arnold Palmer, the Honda that he won?
Bay Hill, yeah.
Yeah, Bay Hill.
He put on
that
putting clinic.
Yeah, and he's got the length and he's got the putting touch. That being said, there are so many great players who are having great years who could win it. And I wonder, too, with Rory, there are two ways of looking at it. Now, I heard the one and only, the Golden Bear, was interviewed this morning, and he said that Steve Sands asked him, like in Rory's case, like, okay, well, this is the fourth leg. And he goes, that's just media stuff playing. He knows he's got a lot of opportunities to come here. And it was a tremendous interview with Nicholas, but I think there's probably a little bit of pressure on there, but now I start to think that the most pressure he felt might have been in, say, 15 and then 16, the first couple of times he came here and everybody was talking about it. It's not like that's the lead conversation now, which probably means the pressure of that, at least from the outside, has lessened on him.
Well, yeah, and he has had three or is it four straight top tens.
Oh, yeah, he plays well.
He's fine.
Now, I mean, he probably should have won that great Masters in 2011, but he blew up on the back nine. Guess what? He wasn't the first. He won't be the last.
No, because then, Spieth has done it since then.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's got four straight top tens. He went 8, 4, 10, and 7 the last 4 years.
So, I mean, he should be in position to win the thing and take another step into history. But then again, you know, he might put one in the lake on number 15. He might hit it in the pond on number 16. You know, one bad hole can kill you here.
One bad swing, as it was in 2011.
That's exactly
that 10,
right.
That tee shot at 10. Jeff, do you want me to tell you who won the par 3 contest? I don't think you do.
Who won it?
Because he's not going to win the Masters now, I'm sorry to say, but Tom Watson.
Yes.
Tom Watson fantastic. Won the par 3 contest by one shot over Tommy Fleetwood and Thomas Peters. Fleetwood's on my radar. I'm glad he didn't win.
Wow. So last year was when the great man, the two-time champion, said so long. But those competitive juices still burn with those guys.
Oh, so he's not playing in it anyway. That's right.
No, last year was
his
last
okay.
year.
So he's definitely not winning it, but he won. And Jack finished tied for fourth.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. But anyway, Tom Watson wins the par three.
Oh, that's so great.
Ahead of Fleetwood and Peters.
Just brought a big smile to my face. I gave Emily a history lesson the other night. I started running through 77 through 79 and then the 83 U.S. Open and 84 British and what might have been. And she said, you really occupy a lot of space in your brain thinking about stuff like that.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do.
You mean she didn't just fall asleep while you were rattling all those things off?
About 2 minutes later, she did.
Yeah. You're like, well, I'm watching Seinfeld now, I guess.
That's my version of a lullaby right there.
Tommy Aaron was 12 over today in the par three.
18-time Gainesville Ooh,
Kevin,
champion.
Kevin Kisner, plus 11. That's not good form.
Well, that's for those guys to have fun. That's awesome that that Watson
yeah.
won.
Anyway, yeah. So, 6-under, Tom Watson.
So many magic moments there. Again, to win it in 77, edge Nicklaus, and then 78 player got him by a shot, and then 79 Fuzzy Zeller won a playoff. If it was Fuzzy's first Masters, Watson and Ed Snead.
Yes, so Fuzzy's the last rookie still, right?
Yeah, he's the only
And he only won, too, right?
Yeah.
Well, then if you don't count Horton Smith, I guess.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Jeff, moving on to the 5-5. What is the forecasted score that's going to win it? You know, this is one it's played here on this course every year, so pretty much most years the winning score is about the same. It's somewhere between 8 and 10 under par.
Yeah. I think the weather is a big factor on this. But I think somebody's going to go really low Thursday and Friday, then maybe just hang on, Chris. So I'm going to give you 13 under is the winner.
I believe the there's an over-under of 65.5 for the low round. Would you take over or under that?
I think with the way the weather looks and what you pulled up about when some of these elite guys are going off Thursday and Friday, I think somebody's going under 65.
So someone could do a 65 or better.
I think so.
Is that someone Tiger? Where does Tiger finish?
Missed cut.
He's going to miss the cut.
He's not finishing in the top 20. Maybe he makes a cut. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it is like he's never missed the cut. And it is one. There are only like 80-something players in the
– I think it's 88 this year.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's 88. But, you know, if you're looking for, you know, the value bets or whatever – the betting on Tiger to miss the cut is a much better proposition than betting on him to win the tournament. To miss the cut, he's like 5-1. To win the tournament, he's 13-1.
Well, and that's also where there's so many fans, and it's great, who just know Tiger because he's so famous. He's had such a great career. But what they don't understand, it's like right now, I'm not talking historically, but right now, like Brian Harman and Russell Henley, Kevin Kisner are much better players than Tiger Woods right now.
Yeah, well, and it just even goes to like these guys like Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day. These guys are just way better than he is, and they've won this year. I mean,
right.
Yeah, Tiger's had a nice little showing his last three tournaments, but these other guys, Rory won.
Exactly.
He won the tournament. I mean, it was just – I get on the airplane coming home from Reno, and I see this huge headline, big, bold letters, Tiger within 5 shots of Stenson heading into the final round. Just that means he has no chance of winning.
Of course.
A 5-shot deficit with 1 round to play is an enormous deficit, but for whatever reason with Tiger, it was like positioned as if he is right there in the hunt.
It's not like if in his prime, like let's say in 2005, it would have been Woods within 1 shot of DeMarco. That's a legitimate headline.
Right. Like if let's say Sunday, McIlroy's leading the tournament and Tiger is 5 shots behind McIlroy, Tiger has a less than 5% chance of winning.
Well, let me tell you what. If McIlroy is 5 shots ahead of Tiger and McIlroy's in the lead, the odds are pretty good. They're going to be about 6, 7, 8 other players in between those two. And that's a lot of times what you have to look at. I mean, history will show us. I mean, one of the all-time heartbreakers, Arnold Palmer lost a 7-shot lead on the back nine of the 66 U.S. Open, and Billy Casper won it. But there was nobody in between them. And Palmer just ran into some rotten luck, hit a couple of bad shots. Casper got hot. it happens. Same thing with Faldo and Norman in 96. But that's when it gets tough, when you got six or seven other guys between you.
Right.
That's just not going to happen.
I even think, even if Rory's first and Tiger's second, he's not making up five shots on Rory in the final round.
No. Now, listen, if this was, 2006 and McIlroy was, say, 22 years old and never won a major and Tiger's in his prime.
But in his prime, that was the thing about Tiger. He never came from behind.
This is true, my friend. All 14, he was leading going into the final round.
All right, and that is today's 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.